Welcome to the Beverage Click Podcast, the only podcast where we discuss drinking trends with an Asian perspective. I'm your resident host, Sean Oh, certified beverage specialist and co-founder of the Beverage Click Academy in Singapore and Malaysia. And here is this month's episode. Hey, my drinking comrades. Welcome back to the Beverage Click Podcast. And welcome to our sommelier mini-series, another short featurette where we spotlight the local Singapore sommeliers shaping how we drink today. For this episode, we're stepping into Tempa, the social wine room and lounge tucked inside Mondrian Singapore Duxton, a space that's built for discovery, great pause, and good energy. My guest is Yu Cho, and Yu is one of those people who genuinely goes 120% into whatever she does. We first met as course mates back in 2023, training as Vinitaly International Italian Wine Ambassadors, and it's been heartening to watch her choose the harder path, stepping away from the safe finance track life to work the floor and serve guests with real intent. Today, she's also a Stage 1 Master of Wine student, and she's been recognized with the Ficofi Scholarship, which is no small signal in the MW world. And yes, she also teaches occasionally at the Academy, so I've seen her work ethic up close. Now, just to frame this respectfully, I haven't interviewed Roberto Duran, Master Sommelier, yet. Tempa's wine leadership story is in its own conversation for another day. Today is about Yu in her current capacity, how she reads guests fast, makes wine feel approachable, and brings that MW level curiosity into service without turning it into a lecture. All right, let's get into it. Okay, what's up, my drinking comrades, and welcome back to another episode of the Beverage Clip Podcast. Now, today we have a very special guest because this is somebody that I've been traveling before, you know, traveling around the wine region before, and also a good friend of ours. She is Yu Cho. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Sort of. I mean, it's Yue, that if I were to be really correct about it, it's like Yu.
Yu.
Yeah.
Okay, then I need to call you Yu. Okay, Yu. Now, for my drinking comrades who haven't met you before, we all know that you're currently at Tempa. So what's your role at Tempa and what's Tempa in one sentence?
Okay. I am the assistant head sommelier in Tempa. It is basically a place with for you to enjoy wine, cocktail, and there is also soundtrack and live music ranging from jazz, soul, and R&B.
No, I didn't know there was live music. Okay, I'm guilty of it. But I haven't been to Tempa yet, so someday I'll definitely come and support you. What kind of guest experience are you actually trying to create there? Was it more like wine bar energy or more serious wine list? Because I know Roberto, for example, is working there, so you know, he's a master sommelier. So what kind of vibe or ambience is Tempa about?
I'll say it is definitely a wine bar, and we do have a serious list, but with the intention of making sure our guests have fun and enjoy trying different wines from different regions rather than intimidating people with the overwhelming wine list. Yeah, in a nutshell, it's just a place to have fun.
Okay. Now, obviously, I've known you for some time, but the listeners, they have not really known who you are. Now, as far as I know, you started your journey in wine investment in terms of private collection side with Cod Wines initially. Yeah, that was before hospitality. So what did that world teach you about the people that actually buy and drink fine wines?
It can be very different. In a restaurant setting, obviously we do pop and pour. But on the collector and investment side, people buy or drink wine for very different reasons, such as believing the value will appreciate in the future, for sentimental reason, buying their birth year or their child birth year, and of course, provenance, which is important regardless of the setting.
Yeah, provenance is very important. I think fake wines have been quite rampant. I'm not sure of late, but for the last 5, even 10 years, I recall Sasikaya had an incident in Italy, and then there were like so many fake wines around to the point where they just could not stop the rot. Now I think the problem is a little bit better. Okay, but thank you for sharing. So what was your turning point where you knew that, okay, you know what, I want to be on the floor, serving and storytelling?
I have always been curious about the world of hospitality, actually, but there's no particular turning point. And all I did was just sit myself down and look at my career experience and the things that I had not tried as a wine professional. So I got in my hands into client management, sales, marketing, events, and even editorial. But I didn't exactly know how it works in this part of the world. So I was like, why not give it a go?
Okay. Clearly, it's a very different tour of duty. Was there something that you used to believe in about wine service that now you no longer believe in?
No, I do not have any change in beliefs. I have always believed that the service you provide should at least make people feel at ease and always make sure to add value and never be afraid to speak up and move on if you're not treated right. I believe that's how things move forward and improve as a whole.
Yeah, that's true. I think hospitality has always been, said customer is always right. But if you believe that there's something that is not right, you should actually speak up. Not to be rude or anything, diplomacy always goes a very long way, I think, especially in our world today, geopolitical-wise. All right, now, more about Tempest Beverage Program. When you curate a list for Temper, what are non-negotiables? Is there certain pricing that you need to look out for? Maybe some regions, you know, certain places are very thematic-based, like a French wine bar, for example. Styles or a by-the-glass ambition?
Yes, so the mastermind behind the list is Roberto Duran, as you mentioned. So he is the fifth Spanish master sommelier, very power. He's super passionate about creating a list that allows our guests to access wines at a fairly decent price, including some highly allocated ones. So we have over 1,200 labels. As we are speaking, we actually have 1,004 on the list now. And they are from more than 30 countries with 250 available by the glass. And that fluctuates a bit, depends on how fast the wine moves. Yeah.
Okay. Is the turnover rate like quick, or do you like refresh your list very often?
Yes, there's almost new wine being listed every day. And we have new deliveries. So the constant struggle of me is, when I thought I'm familiar with the list already, and then I would go into work today and realize that, oh my God, I have never seen this wine before. And I would like panic and quickly look at a fact sheet and whatsoever.
Okay. Feels like a little bit like going to a maze, and that maze just keeps moving and changing at the same time. Is it something like that?
Yes, I would always joke with my guests because they obviously get overwhelmed by the list as well. And then I would say, yeah, same here. Me too. That's a joke I always make.
Okay, so talking about your guests. So if a guest says that, hey, I like Pinot Noir or I like Champagne, what are your two follow-up questions that you as a sommelier will ask to get that right bottle fast?
Pretty standard. So I will start with light-bodied or something fuller. And another very important question are asking whether they are in the mood for splurging, which I think is a very valid question when it comes to this wine. Yeah, because Champagne can go very expensive. And Pinot Noir, if we are talking about Burgundy, it might break that bank as well, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's true, especially Champagne. Champagne is quite pricey. What about your proudest by the glass decision at Temper? Something that's bold that has made some business sense, or is it just stylistically something that is so cult following? What is the choice?
I do not think I've done anything bold or particularly proud in terms of the by the glass decision. That what me and my team are constantly working on is to make sure we try to keep the list as diverse as possible, be it from orange to fortified to sweet to Pinot Noir from Switzerland, Germany, as much as we can.
Okay. So it's more like a diversified portfolio, and there's a glass of wine for everyone? Is there something like that?
Yes, you're right.
Okay. I'll be looking forward to trying one soon enough. Now, this is obviously not a paid promotion. Maybe you could share maybe two signature pairings that could be a Temper that you do with wine or maybe cocktails, since you serve cocktails there.
Yes. So we have an oyster bar at Temper. naturally champagne and oysters, which I think is pretty self-explanatory. And my personal go-to and also guilty pleasure is a beer and fried chicken after work. So I'll go to the bar. I'll get beer a stout. Okay. Yeah.
Coming from somebody who is so knowledgeable about wine, and I can say the same for myself, okay? Having fried chicken and beer, it's such a kopitiam uncle. So, and for the listeners who don't understand what kopitiam uncle means, is kopitiam is our local Singaporean coffee shop, and uncle, obviously uncle. You see a lot of these uncles just sitting around and drinking buttloads of beer by the buckets. Okay, yeah, I haven't had that in a while because I'm trying to watch my diet.
Yeah.
But once I'm in the clear, maybe I'll try that again. Yeah, okay, so let's talk about your journey for the Master of Wine. If some people who do not know this or have not been in touch with social media, actually, you has been accepted in the Master Wine program, sponsorship scheme by Ficofi, is that right? So a bit of a shout out to Ficofi for sponsoring you. So you're doing the Master Wine program. What motivated you to take that leap? And what do you hope it unlocks in your future?
Yes, so I have so many answers to this question. And I usually tend to play it down. Oh, I just got in accidentally, stuff like that.
No, I don't think it's bad.
But regardless of the program, I think the core motivation for me in the constant pursuit of this subject in wine, I believe is that throughout this process, I became a better person. I learned to be more disciplined, to prioritize better in things, people, and energy, and to drink more responsibly. And I really like that about me. It feels good. What more? And that's why I keep going.
It's funny enough you say that it makes you a better person. I know, you're already very structured and very clinical, in my opinion. But wouldn't like Master Wine program cause a little bit of angst, anxiety? And I'm just thinking as somebody who is also aspiring to one day take up the program. Doesn't that do that to you, the stress? And
yes, of course. But I think I just need to find out what recharged me. Getting enough sleep, try to work out. And yeah, just manage my emotional energy better. Yeah, I think that really helps.
You can actually work out during your work schedule?
Yeah, I try to.
Wow, okay. Even now I'm trying to manage my own workout schedule just to get a little bit of active lifestyle in my blood. Okay, but good to know. You have a little bit of work-life balance. That's very good to know. No wonder you still look so vital with so much vitality in your face. With the NW studies, has it changed your palate or the way you taste blind? How differently has it been since you have taken the program?
I am trying to taste more efficiently and accurately. And that means understanding the wine in front of me as much as possible in just two sips. In the exam, we'll be tasting 12 wines in one sitting. And it is very important not to overtaste and to manage the buildup of like tannins, some acidity and all that kind of structural concern. So yeah, I'm still working on it.
Still? Okay. I'm sure you're getting better and better.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I try.
So does the MW theory creep into service? Because clearly it's a very different, I mean, it's the same thing, still dealing with wine, but it's one pertaining to more practical sense of things and the other one more theoretical. So has it caught up with your explanation in terms of soil, climate? How do we actually make it guest-friendly? If you talk to a professor and they start telling you about astrophysics and whatnot, you get lost, right? But if you listen to people like Neil deGrasse Tyson and he talks about astrophysics, he's so engaging. So how do you actually make it engaging?
It's the funny question. So my answer is yes and no. In the most ideal situation, of course, I would know all the details about the terroir, the story behind a bottle, and I'd get to share them in the name of revision during service, but I don't. As someone who loves wine, I think it gives me a lot of joy to see people have fun appreciating something I enjoy so much. So it's very important to read the room and keep the information relevant. So the good thing at Temper is that we have guests with diverse levels of knowledge when it comes to wine. So some guests would light up when you share some story about the winemaking, about the winemakers, but some are just not interested and they just want to get wasted. And it's very important that you do not talk much and let them drink.
Read the room.
And we also have seasoned drinkers where sometimes the tables turn and I would ask them questions about a particular wine and learn from them, because how can I know more than them? They have been drinking for decades. So yeah, I'm having fun learning from at work every day as well.
The MW program is famously intense. I think we all know that. All wine people know that. We just talked about you trying to work out, study, and work. How do you actually find balance? It's not easy.
I do agree. And
is there a routine that you actually go by? Because you seem like a person that's so scheduled. You want to make sure everything is on point and scheduled. What does a day in your life look like?
Wow, this is...
Oh, a fruitful day. I should be more specific. A fruitful day, yes.
Okay, for me, I'm really not trying to balance. And through time, I found out that the attempt to balance all of those actually burns me out. So I stopped trying. So what I try to do is to stay healthy and be in the right state of mind to keep things going. What I share about just now, working out and all those. But yeah, it is just to list down what is the most important thing to do in a day. Let's say work is something that I need to do. Definitely they would take out like 10, 12 hours a day, sometimes more, sometimes less. And the next thing would be prioritizing my sleep. After deducting 12 hours out of 24 hours, I try to get at least 4 or 5 hours of sleep a day. And the remainings would be study. Yeah, I try to squeeze in 4 hours of study a day. Recently, it's not really working because I don't think I am getting proper rest. So yeah, and that kind of affect my study as well. I'm not retaining any information. So yeah, it's just something I need to accept and to work out a new plan that would best work for whatever that I want to focus in my life.
Okay. So even you as being a superwoman still can face issues. The way you say it reminds me a bit like how people like Steve Jobs operates. They're talking about like 80% focus and 20% noise. You're trying to shield out all that noise just to focus. But now it's your body that's the one that's trying to catch up. So I can appreciate that because not everybody is superhuman. Hopefully you'll be able to come to terms with all that burnout and not get too tired over it. Okay, so how about some fast fire questions? What kind of wine style you think is currently underrated in Singapore?
45.
45? Oh my God, you're speaking my language because I love 45. People who know me knows that I love 45. But is there a certain type of 45 or are you just saying in general?
Yeah, just in general, I actually did not used to enjoy 45 wine until I was taking my WSET diploma. Yeah, then I learned about a story, how it actually started. And yeah, I just enjoy it a lot. I can talk more and more offline.
That's the old soul in you talking. I had the same journey. After finishing my level 4 diploma, I actually appreciated 45 a lot more. All right, what about a gateway bottle that you would use to convert somebody who is not into wine? For example, somebody who likes beer, like, you know, Kopitiam uncle, or somebody who is a spirits person. What kind of bottle of wine would you get them into wine?
Yes, maybe a Riesling, but I actually don't have an answer to this because as far as I know or as I am, I will not attempt to convert them, because I think that beer and spirits, they are fun. If you want to drink beer, if you want to drink spirit, just go ahead. Yeah.
Funny enough, you mentioned Riesling and I successfully converted 3 people who were either beer people or spirits people to wine. And it was Riesling.
Really?
Yeah, it was German Riesling to be more specific. So there's a magical touch with German Riesling. I'm talking about your Prätikatz sweet style wines. For those who are listening, Prätikatz wines tend to have a little bit more sweetness when you taste them. You understand there was a complexity behind the wine. I completely agree with you. What about most common mistake that guests make when they order wine? And is there a nice way to steer them back to choosing something what they want or what they really want? Yeah.
Yes. I'd say one of the most common request or in ordering a wine is that they want a Chablis, but not a Chardonnay. I would just try to understand what they like about Chablis. It's very important to listen and give them a few options that fit their criteria. And of course, I'll break the news to them that a Chablis is made from Chardonnay. Sometimes if they are lucky or unlucky, they might get a lesson from me talking about Chardonnay, Chablis for very long. I can talk too much sometimes at work, so I'm trying to control that.
Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to close. What about if somebody comes to Tampa for the first time? What should they order? What should they tell you so that you nail the perfect recommendation?
I'd say just order whatever you want. It's really a playground for wine enthusiasts. And if you are new to wine, we always start with are you looking for a sparkling white or red? And then we'll move on from there. And all we can do is just hope that the recommendations that we made is perfect for you and it opens up a new world for you.
All right. Thank you very much, Yu. And I hope to be at Tampa really soon. So please pardon my, because I'm traveling a little bit, right? So thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.